Welcome back to another episode of Money Talks. This is Hugh Meyer. Hope you're doing well. Remember, we are connecting thought leaders, entrepreneurs, and business experts to deliver actionable advice to you, the small business owner and entrepreneur. Super excited today to have my guest. He is the CEO of DeBarra Masonry and Construction in Los Angeles, Matt DeBarra. Matt is a fourth generation CEO of DeBarra Masonry. In this episode, we learn about how Matt was brought up in his family business, how he and his partners responded last year to COVID-19, how he's continuing to grow his business, and finally learning how to leverage what he's learned in his business to develop new startup concepts. We hope you enjoy this episode. Matt, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, Hugh. Appreciate it.
Yeah, super excited to have you here. It's been a long time coming and looking forward to our conversation. Again, thanks for doing this. Tell us a little bit about your background and about yourself.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting story. It's been a fun journey thus far. My background's mainly in construction. My family's been in contracting for four generations. And so I started in the family business real young, 9 years old, actually. It was my first day on the job. Yep.
So I'm not surprised to hear that you are an extremely hardworking individual. Talk about, obviously, you're the founder and the CEO of DeBarra Masonry and Construction here in LA. Maybe walk us through kind of how you've built that up over time.
Yeah, you know, it was a unique journey. I came out here and, you know, I love masonry and concrete. That's one of my passions. And so when I moved to LA, my goal was, how do we become a family business, right? How do I take what I grew up with and how do I bring that out here? How do we keep the same atmosphere, the same kind of culture, the things that made what I loved about my family business and growing up really special? And then I would say a few years ago, I came to the realization that you can still have the family atmosphere and grow. And I think that's a misconception with a lot of, like, you know, when you grow up in a family business is that, you know, small means family. And I had that belief for a while. And so the last 2 years has been about reinventing. What does a growing, sustainable family business look like?
Yeah, thank you for that. I actually, one of my first podcasts almost a year ago with a guy similar, very similar to yourself in Northern California, took the business over from his family and kind of talk, you know, had a lot of issues with kind of what you were just talking about, as far as, you know, turning that switch on for growth and maybe, you know, keeping the culture in place, but trying to grow the business to take it to another level, which doesn't always, you know, jive, if you will, with the family members who started the business. So that's a big challenge.
Yeah, it was not easy to overcome. And a lot of it was just the beliefs, the things you hear, you know, no one's ever going to care about business as much as you, you know, no one's ever going to work as hard as family. And so I had to kind of untangle some of the things that my dad and grandfather had taught me growing up.
Yeah, like I said, it's a big challenge. But as you and I have, you know, learned over a brief period of time, you've done an amazing job making that transition. And, you know, you've done a phenomenal job really building up, you know, taking your company to the next level. So it's exciting to watch you grow this and, you know, looking forward to continue to seeing how this plays out for you. So let's talk about, obviously, you know, I talk about this with every one of my guests because it's impossible to not discuss it. But obviously, as much as we want to leave 2020 in the rearview mirror, it was really important for a lot of people to learn. They learned a lot about themselves because of what took place last year. A lot of people started new businesses last year, you know, and a lot of people like yourself really like hit the accelerator. So maybe kind of walk us through what last year was like for you and your company.
So last year was a special year. I'm sure it was for, you know, almost everybody here, right? But the groundwork for last year, I remember sitting at a table in 2006 with my grandfather talking to my dad and saying, look, the economy's on fire. There's cycles, there's things that happen, predictable or unpredictable. And he was telling my dad basically how to, in his opinion, right, growing up in the Great Depression and seeing all these cycles, how to diversify and what that looks like. And so I'm a young kid. And I remember we started doing public work because the thought was that money would have to flow through the public sector when the private sector got slow for construction anyway.
Right.
And that always stuck with me. I was working at an electronics store during the winters. This was in Massachusetts. And I remember when Circuit City closed down, I was working there. And I remember seeing guys who and gals who lost their jobs, their livelihood, right, in 2008, 9, 10, that whole, you know, that whole issue. And it was the most awakening, heartbreaking experience I can ever tell you. Like watching people that were mentors to me crying in the break room. And so in the back of my mind, I was always sensitive to like, what is this thing my grandfather was telling me? What is this thing that caused these adults to, you know, my boss had just had a baby and just bought a house and he's in the break room. And it was like, I wasn't quite old enough to understand it all, but I could feel right what that was like. And so how this relates to COVID, right? And the situation was, I always had in the back of my mind that when things are good, what is lurking around the corner? From that conversation with my grandfather and from that day that I went in there, that like those two memories, I'll remember as long as I mean, they give me chills right now, even thinking about it. And so with COVID, I didn't know it would be COVID. I didn't know what it would be, right. But I was always preparing for something, the tightening, a contraction in the business and staying lean and staying fit and keeping a certain culture. So it was extremely difficult. You know, it was really hard, but it was like, in a weird way, there was a little bit of like, okay, this is part of a natural cycle. And if, at least from an economic standpoint, I don't know about the health side of things. But economically, so it was like things that were in the back of my mind as to what to do. You know, we always kept the company lean. We diversified slightly. There were certain things that we did. We were careful with cash. And so it was difficult, right? But it was like, it was almost like having a fire in a building. Nobody wants it, but if you have that fire drill mentality where you've kind of thought through it a little bit, it definitely made things a little bit easier. And that's nothing. I can't take any credit for that, right? That was my grandfather in 2006 with that story and that table talk dinner there.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. I mean, it was you can't. The people like yourself that are going to continue to be successful are the people that are being proactive and they're always looking. Like you said, what's around the corner when everything's great, you know, and listen, up until about a year, 12 months, 13 months ago, last year, you know, things seemed okay. And then all of a sudden like this, they're shutting the country down and people, even the really ultra wealthy people all of a sudden had no cash flow. So you really, it was obviously that having that conversation at such an early age for you was hugely beneficial. And it's something you, like you said, you're always going to remember because it was a very valid point at that time. And before you knew it, you know, as you running your own company, you saw it firsthand and what potentially it could have done to your business.
Yeah. And I have this feeling like I go to work for my team. Like I go to work for them. They don't work for me. Like nobody on my team. Like I take such a personal responsibility for anybody taking their, like growing up in construction and being in a family business, it's like, I look at things maybe a little bit different than, you know, I don't have any formal business training. So like, if you're going to take, you know, like when I see at the end of the year, I look at the W-2 returns, right? And I see that money flowed through clients and this business and flowed into their pockets, right? It doesn't come from me. It comes from our clients, right? And making them happy. And that bought food on their table. That bought their kids Christmas gifts. Like I take the fact that you're trusting me to make sure that I can provide an environment where you can do that. Like I take that very seriously. So when COVID hit, I'm like, I have to perform. Like there was nobody else that I was putting the onus on. I'm like, I have people every day that are showing up for work, believing in my ability to do this, you know, we have to perform. And so that pressure, right? That pressure, whether it's real or not, I don't know, right? But what I can tell you is that I place that onus on me. Like if my belief is this, if you're going to show up every day in my organization and you're going to work hard, then I owe it to you to give you an opportunity to do that every day and to give you the platform to grow. And that's the culture we have. And so COVID really, you know, that whole dilemma, right? That really put a lot of pressure on me to perform. You know, it was like, okay, what am I giving up? You know, I'm giving up the fun. I'm giving up all these things and I need to double down to make sure that we can facilitate this thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, kudos to you for doing that. And I think you bring up some really important points because, you know, as I've talked to a lot of founders lately who are starting up, you know, new businesses and technology, and culture is so important. And that starts from people like yourself, people at the top down. If they're not living and breathing it and encouraging their partners, like as you're referring to, you know, come and bring it at their highest level, then kind of I hate to say what, not what is it good for, but like it's got to be the centerpiece, right? If you don't have that, then, you know, in times like we just had, that's when the business is going to get into trouble. But to your credit, you have that culture and you've succeeded. So, you know, again, that's, you know, kudos to you for having, and you have plenty on job experience. You're doing it every minute of every day. So again, you know, you're doing a great job. So then as we're kind of talking through that, talk about how, as things kind of improved, you know, and maybe in the back half of last year, you know, you've gotten, you know, very busy. Maybe talk a little bit about kind of the, maybe the good part of what's happening for you now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, having a, growing up in construction, right? Being on jobs at 9 years old, you know, laying brick by 12, 13, running crews by 15, 16, you know, my dad never gave me a glass ceiling. What does that have to do with what we're saying? Well, basically it was that in construction, right? You have to make decisions quickly, right? We've got deliveries. We've got this, there's safety issues. Like, you have to make decisions quickly. So when COVID hit, we made decisions quickly, right? We were like, all right, we're going to up the marketing. We're going to move into this thing. We're going to plan for the worst. We're going to, even if it means overspending, even if it means that we have too many leads, right? We're going to assume that things are really, really bad. And we're going to make sure that we have the lead flow and the inbound calls to facilitate whatever happens, right? So in doing that, obviously it didn't end up being what we thought it was going to be, at least in our business.
Right.
It ended up being that there was a week or two, at least in our world, maybe three of things slowing down on a downward trend. And then it shot up. So I had an opposite issue in terms of increasing the marketing and then the call volume actually increasing and then being like, how do we facilitate all of these calls? So, you know, just like what I learned in construction, it's like one decision, swift decision can result in something that creates another issue. And so, I mean, it was a challenge. It was like this faucet and you had this big wrench and you couldn't get it to regulate the way you wanted it. We're preparing for no water. So we're wrenching this. We're like open. And then the water that we had came back through and we'd added more. And it's like, well, how do we tighten this back up? So, but honestly, it was a good bonding experience for the team and for, you know, even just close friends. And I think it made me and everybody I know that I'm close with better people all the way around. It kind of forced us to be aware, to be alert, to be awake to what was happening.
Yeah, no, those are great points. Let's say you've obviously, you know, you've been in this business for pretty much your entire life.
Yeah.
And you've learned a lot of lessons. You've learned your lessons from your parents, your grandparent, your grandfather, and now yourself running this business day to day. And you've learned a ton about, you know, your industry, which kind of leads us to our next subject, which I've been wanting to hear a ton about, which is you're now creating we'll call it content, but you're having some initiatives, if you will. So to the extent you could talk, let's talk a little bit about that, because you're doing what I love people and I talk to people about a lot, which is this word leverage, right? And I don't mean by borrowing money. I mean, you've created this foundation and now you've realized, I'm not going to just run this business, but I'm going to use what I've learned in this business and do some other things with that. So let's talk a little bit about some of these, you know, initiatives that you're working on.
Well, and it goes back to, right, it goes back to that same family philosophy. I call my, you know, we're a fourth generation family business because my family's been in business and doing masonry and concrete for four generations, 102 years. We trace it back to Italy. I've only been on this planet, right? I've only been responsible for, you know, maybe 15, 20 of those years, right? There's a lineage, right? So the only reason I can say that is because of what my father, grandfather, great-grandfathers did, my uncle included in that, the family, right? So there's a sense of responsibility that I place in bigger areas. I think that we're all kind of playing in an arena that's bigger than just ourselves. Yeah. And so, you know, I spent all this time learning masonry and concrete, but really what I was learning was the construction industry. You know, I've been on over 4,000 sales appointments. And so I've seen the home improvement sector over the last 10 years really kind of shift into this place where there's conflict and tension between good contractors and good homeowners. And, you know, there's a lot of money to be made, you know, especially with COVID, that didn't help things, right? You've got a shortage of labor from 2008 because what happened was all the good contractors were like, we're done with the cycles. I'm 4 years. I was 3 years from retirement or whatever the case may be. I'm going to fold it in. Right. So
right.
Short labor pool, a lot of money to be made, questionable ethic. You got all these things happening. You got the, you know, internet where you can literally put up a landing page and get licensed and validate yourself as a contractor with no truck, no tools, no anything. So all these things are kind of happening. And in the meantime, I'm doing what I can on a small scale to help people, friends, family, clients, you know, people who call us. And without stepping in and really rising to a bigger cause, it was hard. It was like, I can only do so much on the phone with you, right? I can only do so much if I'm in front of you. So the idea of the undercover contractor, which is who I am, right? This brand, this ethos, it's helping homeowners, real estate investors, you know, people who hire contractors, as well as contractors, to help bridge this gap. I mean, it's all about just getting there to be a place. When I grew up, right, my dad, I remember the best memories I have as a kid were pouring concrete and they would hold their baby, right? And I would trowel it and they would stamp their hands in there. And I've gone back to some of those 15 years later. And so I think there's an emotional attachment to our homes. And I think that with what's happening, it kind of really, really, it's frustrating because it hits on all the areas. It hits on the fact that this is our home, right? And we love our home. It hits on money because I right. see people lose their hard-earned money. It's like we see on the news, you know, skip a cup of coffee, plan for, you know, plan for these unforeseens, all these things. The biggest expense the average American has is the purchase of their home.
Right.
Do you know what the second biggest expense is?
The upkeep of the home.
Exactly. We've talked about this, right? So it's like, we're talking about the second biggest expense, probably the biggest emotional purchase we can make. And yet there's all this gray area and all these other things working in the background to make this thing not so clear. So my mission has become, as the undercover contractor with my book, How to Not Get Screwed by Your Contractor, is, you know, putting it lightly, the subtitle is a little different if you read it. but for the PG version of it, is how do we help bridge the gap? I'm not saying every contractor is bad. I'm not saying every right. homeowner is bad, but there's a gap. I mean, there's clearly a gap. 2019 top consumer complaint was contracting. I mean, there's a clear gap here. And so I just want to do whatever small part I can to help bridge that gap with what I've learned in this industry.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, it's very easy to always pick out, you know, the negatives in anything. And you're trying to basically, like you say, you're trying to bridge that gap, figure out how, you know, some, you know, clients, people, and even other colleagues of yours can mitigate these problems and maybe stop them from happening, because everybody loses, right? When these things don't go awry, whether, you know, it's contractors charging too much money or things not getting done the way people want, you know, it's your hard earned money at work. It's, you know, labor hours for you. Like everyone should, you know, hopefully come out the way they should. And it's, you know, it's great that you've kind of have seen, you know, you've seen all this from a very young age and you're doing something about it. And you're, you know, you're really leveraging your time and your experience of what you do.
Yeah. And it, you know, I've seen what works. You know, I mean, I was trained by people. I mean, you go back 20 years ago, you know, those people were in their 60s and 70s. I mean, I've seen the generational changes in construction and who got into it and why. And I also think that, you know, you look back at the 1950s and it was like home ownership, home renting, right? The ability to have a home in general was like the American dream.
Right.
And it's like now all of a sudden people are scared to have any work done. And it's like, what happened? You know, the thought of putting in that white picket fence and hiring that contractor was your stake in the ground. Like, look, I've made it. And now, you know, the things that I see, it's disappointing in so many different facets. And there's no one clear, you know, contractors, the reason my slant is a little different is I think that you've got things become very, very polarized, right? One-sided. It's like, well, contractors, you know, they think homeowners might think homeowners are bad, right? Homeowners right. might think all contractors are bad. I'm here like the referee is the undercover contractor saying, look, I've seen both.
Right.
You know, yeah. I've been on both sides. My family's been on both sides. Like there's good on both ends of this thing. Let's figure out what might be construed as bad, you know, and that's what I cover in the book, you know, how to find, vet, hire contractors, you know, the process, what you need to look out for, top scams. I mean, I give, you know, everything that I've learned in the industry in one book, in the hopes that you, I can create confident homeowners. And that's literally what I named the system that I've created, is the Confident Homeowner System, because I want people to feel, I don't believe you should be a consumer spending tens of thousands of dollars and doing it like tense, like, oh, I don't know if we made the right decision. Like, I hope so. We'll see. Like, it shouldn't feel like you're flipping a coin if you're spending that kind of money.
Yeah, no question. Let's switch gears a little bit, but no, I'm really excited. Look forward to seeing, you know, seeing all this come to fruition very soon, as you've told me off camera. What do you think is your, as a small business owner, which, you know, the word small is obviously not taken, that your business is small, but in any, you know, but in any event, you know, it's growing pretty substantially. But what do you see as kind of some of your biggest challenges as you came into 2021? Obviously, 2020 was super tumultuous. What do you kind of see as your biggest challenges going into this year?
You know, I think the biggest challenge is finding the right people. I think that's the hardest part of, you know, this business, you know, masonry and concrete, and even just moving forward. I think it's difficult to place, you know, to place the right people on your team. Especially if you have, you know, sayings like never lower the target and, you know, overcommit, overdelay, you know, there's things that we have in DeBarra Masonry and even with the undercover contractor that are all about really pushing us to deliver for who it is we're working for. Right. But yeah, culturally, I think is extremely, also predicting market trends. You know, it's kind of like you shook up the jar of jelly beans. And I don't think anybody quite knows what's going to happen. It's unpredictable. Are we coming out of this? Are we not? Are we floating on a cloud? You know, and that, like, what is happening right now? I don't know that anybody fully has the answer. There's a lot of predictions, I'm sure. That's a lot of my wheelhouse, but those are two big issues right now, is people, and then what's just going to happen around the bend.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's helpful to hear from other small business owners kind of what they're thinking is going into this year, kind of how they're managing their business, you know, on the back of obviously a lot of uncertainty on the back of last year. And then obviously, you know, we have the quote unquote reopening of everything. Now the vaccine is getting out, you know, the government's trying to push a lot of money in the system, but like you said, you're still, you know, as a great business owner that you are, you're still on guard, right? It's like, you don't know, you know, next month, 2 months, maybe after the summer, there's going to be another change in the cycle again. So it's great that you're continuing to be prepared, and that, you know, everyone that's working with you, you know, really understands that message.
Yeah. And, you know, we focus on, so again, with no business background, everything for me has to be distilled into just like, I think I approach business very different, right? Cause I approach it from what I learned in the construction field, not, you know, a formal training. And so I always, we talk about it with my team, is like, we have to get known, right? And we have to be great. If you can get enough people to know you, and the people who know you can find out that you're great by doing a great job. Like, so my whole thing is in times of stress like this, right? Or unpredictability, it's like, what are the fundamentals? Like, what are we trying to do? I talk about in my book, the contracting book, I have this North Star approach, right? You can point up in the sky and see it. And I talk about what that means in the world of contracting, but it also exists in my company culture. It's like, what are some things, some fundamentals that we can see, you know, no matter what the night sky looks like, they're always there. Right. And so it's, you know, how do we get known? Right. Everyone in the company is asking these questions, you know, how do we get more known? Right. And then how do we be great? Cause I think if you can do those two fundamental things, in the midst of all the chaos and the changes and everything that's happening and the emotion, it's like, there's only a few things you really have to do and focus on that are going to move the needle in and out.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's an excellent point for people. I love the North Star. I can't wait to learn more about that. But that's great. Let's unpack what you were just talking about. You know, being known and being great, and you're talking about really being authentic. And then I know you have some familiarity with social media. How are you and your kind of, and it, to the extent you are with your business, really kind of leveraging social media to help you with those initiatives?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, we do a lot of marketing, you know, in terms of just really packaging up what we've done and showing people, saying, look, this is what we've created, or look, this is, you know, these are our reviews or whatnot. Social media is a newer thing for me. You know, again, family business. It was like, you know, my dad started with the Yellow Pages. I sat with my dad at pizza shops where we would literally meet with the guy from the Yellow Pages, and he'd be like, "You, how slow are you?" He'd be like, my dad would be like, "We're so slow." He's like, "You probably want a full page ad for the next 6 months." So like, this is how I started in this world. And it's changed quite a bit. You know, I was one of the first, you know, I was an early adopter of having a website. You know, contractors didn't believe in websites. So social media, I think, is an extremely leverageable tool. You know, it's one of the many tools, though. I think getting known is the end goal, and it's right. about diversifying those means. I don't think, I worry sometimes that social media gets overemphasized for some people. And I worry, like in my world, contracting, that it's completely underemphasized. So we're using it. We're going to get better at it. You know, we have a lot of plans in 2021 to really ramp that up. But it's just, it's perspective, right? Some industries, it's like the everything, right?
Right.
And I don't know that it is, because you have other industries that don't have it at all and seem to be doing pretty well. So again, I look at things in a very simplified approach. And like, you have, you know, massive companies that don't even have it in some industries, and others, it's every. So it's always that middle ground, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And yeah, there's definitely, it's very hard to find that middle ground, but there's other people who are, they're super gung-ho about it to a fault. And then there's others that they just don't want to even get near it. And like, to your credit, you're trying to find your way to the middle there, where you're making it work for you, but it's not the end all be all of your business. It's not going to 100% direct what you're doing. Like, you and your culture are going to direct what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's an amplifier, but it's a tool.
Right.
And you know, another construction metaphor is like, you don't have one tool, and you don't just rely on one tool in your tool belt. You know, if you're going to build a house, you need a lot of tools. So if you're going to build a business, right, and you need a marketing engine, you need a lot of tools. It's not, right. You know, if you just have one tool, you got one hammer, right? I know carpenters there. I remember it, right? Guy loses his hammer. He's like, "Oh my gosh." And he's all pissed. He goes to his truck. He's got another hammer, right? It's just not the one he liked, right? So there's a backup there. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the same thing in business. It's like, you know, having multiple tools, one you may like better, one might work better, but diversifying those tools across many different areas. I mean, that was part of COVID. I mean, having different ways for people to know us was huge.
Yeah, I love the endless amount of metaphors from your business. You can, and you've already written a book, so I'll leave that one alone. But that stuff can be used across so many different businesses and industries. What you're talking about now, it's great. So I spent so much time, you know, as you thank you for all your, you know, thank you for time here today and all your great advice for people. Peppering my guests with tons of questions. So I always like to turn it around and give the mic to my guests and let them ask me a question or two. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, no, I love this. I love this. I mean, what, you know, you're obviously outside of this, I'm somewhat familiar with what you're doing. I mean, what, if you were to, how do you balance the fact that there's, like, we talked about picking tools, right? And we're on a podcast and you picked podcasts, right? What is your decision-making process? Because you could have just as easily been, this could have been your time to post videos on TikTok, right? Or to you focus on and take a course on direct mail, right? So there's all these tools. What was your decision-making process in saying, I'm going to do podcasts versus something else? And how do you allocate time accordingly?
Great question. well, I mean, I'll go back in time a little bit. So when COVID started, you know, I thought that my job and the job of my partners was to figure out how we explain what's going on to people, right? There's so much, and even still to this day, there is so much information coming out at people, individuals on a daily basis. A lot of it's coming from the government, you know, whether it's stimulus or tax, PPP, et cetera, this law is changing that. So that's very overwhelming for especially for entrepreneurs and business owners who were severely punished by what took place last year. And the most, you know, most punished of all in business, small business, so they're still trying to get up off the mat. So I felt that it was my job and my partners to figure out how we can help do that. And it just became like, what's the best medium for for people to kind of see you, like see what you're about, your value proposition, whether you're, you know, you're bullshitting them or not, you know, are you authentic or not? What's better way to do that than visually and on a podcast medium? So what started as a webinar, you know, with a colleague of mine, who you and I have spoken to off camera, because he had talked about a really important just topic. And I said, we have to put this, we have to get more people involved and talk about it. And this was back in a year ago. And it just kind of evolved into this, where I said, it needs to be more, like the podcast has to be consistent. The message has to continue to be consistent. And it's very simple. We're delivering actionable advice to entrepreneurs. Everyone who comes on here has owned a business, has sold a business, runs a business. They have success. They understand culture. They understand how to leverage the digital world. And they all leave great advice, no matter what industry they're in, to the guests, period. That's what I wanted to do. So I'm lucky to have guests that understand that and help me, you know, get the message out.
Got it. Now, how did you, because I felt this a little bit, without going too far, of course, but how did you feel like, okay, I'm the person, did you feel a little bit of a hesitation? And I'll speak for me, right? Even with all my experience, starting with the book and being like, okay, I'm going to put this content out there. Was there any level of like, am I the person to really be doing this? I mean, when you compare yourself to people who are so right. established and have been doing it so long, right? Because I kind of had that, you know, in the back of my mind, that little, you know, that little thing of like, am I really, you know, even though everybody else around you is like, what are you, crazy? You're like, you know, I know all these people. I mean, was that ever a thing for you, truly? Or
you know what? I think I probably think about it once or twice a week, as far as can I really, you know, do I have the energy and the wherewithal to take this where I want it to go? And then I just go, you know what I mean? Like, it's a natural question that you ask yourself when you get out of the, like, and I hammer this to people for a year on social media, get out of your comfort zone, right? You know, no matter what situation you're in, you've got to figure out, don't do what's been normal for you. And people who know me were shocked that I'm doing this. And the people that have helped me with the podcast, as far as who've done it themselves, you know, you have to be committed to it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Any kind of social media that you really want to build out, and whether it's building, you know, whether it's for yourself, it's your main business, or it's, you know, your book or whatever, you have to have the commitment, but that commitment has to be a minimum. 2 years seems to be the magic number. Mm-hmm. With some pretty successful people that I follow in the investment space that have started newsletters or podcasts. And for whatever reason, it's like this 2 year mark, like, you know, if it's really resonating with people. So I'm not even a year into this yet, so we'll see after 2 years.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, even in my business, it's like things, I was right about a lot of the goals that I set. The only thing I was wrong about was the timing. Right. Like, there was like, we're going to achieve this, or we're going for that. And it's the timing. Right. And so I think that's what you're saying, right? Is that, you know, you may be right. If you set out and say, I'm going to have this podcast, I'm going to influence, you know, 10 million people, and I'm going to be this, all those things might be right. But, you know, you might have been off on one thing, which is just the timeline. Is it 2.5 years and you cut out at 1 year, 6 months? Right. Like, you know, that's in this world, I think that's one of the hardest things, but yeah, no, I that's really cool.
Yeah, valid point about the time frame. No question about that. So as we conclude here, and again, you know, thank you for all your time today. So it was great to talk to you on camera. Maybe leave kind of one piece of actionable advice for, you know, for our audience.
Yeah, my biggest regret, honestly, and I don't know that I've ever even shared this. My biggest regret was not taking opportunities that came my way, right? I had so many opportunities to get into commercial work earlier than I did. I had so many things that just came to me without me looking for them. And it was like, oh, well, we don't do this size commercial job, or, oh, we don't, you know, this isn't what I was so narrowly focused on, this one narrative, this one thing. Right. And I think as entrepreneurs or in the business world or anything we're passionate about, it requires some level of narrow focus, because if you're too distracted, you're everywhere.
Right.
But at the same time, how do you, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is how do you identify when you have this narrow focus and something goes, knocks on you and says, hey, this is a detour, but you know, cause I'm doing commercial work right now, more so. I mean, we're big in the residential sector. We do commercial work. And I'm like thinking to myself, the jobs that I'm doing now, right? I had opportunities to do these 3.5, 4 years ago. They were literally, I was doing a guy's house and he's like, hey, I got this business. I think you could do all the concrete work here. It'd be great. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really do a ton of commercial work yet. And the guy was like, it was that little knock and I missed it. And so now that I'm more aware of what's the difference between, you know, an opening and a knocking versus a distraction, the more I think and kind of am aware or alert to that, it's a very interesting, once you start really paying attention, you ask yourself, I literally ask myself, I'm like, is this a knock on a door that I should open? Or is this a distraction with all these things that come up unexpectedly? And it's had a big influence on how I decide whether or not to pursue something.
That's awesome. Love that. I love that anecdote. Love that piece of advice for people, because you know, you've learned, like you said, you've learned a lot of great lessons, even as a young business owner, about, you know, like to your point of, is my focus too narrow? You know, can I branch out? Is this worth my time? You know, payback, et cetera. And, you know, to your credit, you know, you've learned through that and you're now expanding on that. And it looks like it's going to be something that's going to be promising for you and your company.
I mean, I'm fortunate. I got an amazing team. I mean, it's not, this is so far beyond everything I touch right now is so far beyond anything that I could even do. And it's kind of this vulnerable yet really exciting experience to be like, I'm a byproduct of the people that are working with me, that have given me advice, that have helped me. Like I truly feel like I'm nothing more than a conduit at this point for the mentors and teachers I've had in the past and the people that support the vision of where, you know, I think we can help. So it's, you know, it's exciting to be able to do that every day.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, it was great to have you on the show. You know, thank you again for all the words of wisdom and the great advice and the background in your story. I know it's going to be super helpful to any business owner that listens in. So it was a pleasure having you. Thank you.
Thanks, you. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Thank you again for your time. Remember, everyone, please subscribe and hit the like button on the YouTube channel. We'll be back with another episode next week. Hope you're doing well. Take care.